Next up, Imagining Community on FM 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. The opinions voiced this hour on the proposed Tuscan Water District do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. We start tonight's coverage and synopsis of the September 1st, 2021 proposed Tuscan Water District with three in-person public comments from yesterday's Butte County Water Commission meeting that concluded with a vote in favor of approval of the TWD with conditions to the Butte County Board of Supervisors here on Peak Pod Radio.
Who's going to be number one?
First up will be Jim McCabe.
Welcome, Jim.
Good afternoon, commissioners. I submitted a letter to the commission in the last few days. I know it came in quite late. It came in after the cutoff. I hope you've had a chance to read it. Given the three-minute limit, I won't reiterate everything that's in it, but I will tell you that I have grave concerns about the legality of the Tuscan Water District. I know Mr. Giesentanner got up here and told you that, and correctly so, that this is proposed as a landowner voter district, and that LAFCO does not have the authority to change that. It's true. LAFCO does not have the authority to change legislatively granted powers, which is part of the problem with the conditions in the application. This is a district that has 60. Well, first of all, the Vina subbasin has about 140,000 people who live in it. Tuscan overlays it to some extent and proposes to undertake PMAs that will affect the entire Vina subbasin and indeed the entire Tuscan aquifer. And they propose to do that on the strength of the votes of less than 1,000 people out of the 140,000 people who live in the Vina subbasin, and to give those persons outsized influence in the selection and execution of groundwater sustainability projects. That's bad public policy, and its effect, frankly, offends the Constitution, and for good reason. And that's because the Constitution guarantees to each person equal protection of the law, and that involves a right to vote on governmental activities. While Mr. Giesentanner calls this entity a limited purpose entity, it is not. It is not. By the nature of the rights granted by Division 13 of the Water Code, it has certain governmental functions and certain legislative abilities, and that's what invokes the one person, one vote rule. Particularly after the enactment of SGMA, when groundwater is declared to be public property and subject to the beneficial use doctrine, it is clear that this is an entity that would be acting with and regulating and having great influence over public property that affects 140,000 people, and 1,000 people get to elect the directors of that organization. Of them, several are corporations, which ordinarily do not get to vote in our elections. Some of them are out of area corporations. It is profoundly unfair and offends the Constitution to give a district like this the power to affect groundwater to the extent that it will have it. And LAFCO, you can recommend all the conditions you like. I am not convinced that LAFCO actually has the ability to say, yeah, we're going to make that stick. Or even if they pass it, even if LAFCO passes it and imposes a condition that in 2 or 3 years down the road, Tuscan won't be able to go into court and say, no, we really can do that. There's no guarantee that that won't happen. Putting an entity that is constitutionally infirm in the middle of our groundwater sustainability efforts is a big mistake. It creates the possibility that down the road, everything is going to come undone. We're going to have to start over again. And it's completely unnecessary because, contrary to what Mr. Giesentanner stated, the white areas of the county, the unregulated areas of the county, actually are represented. They're represented by the county of Butte. The default GSA under SGMA is the county in which the area is located. And I'm probably out of time.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. You conveyed a lot of information very quickly. Thank you.
Randy Moline.
Welcome, Randy.
Thank you.
Well, that mic real close to your mouth.
All right. Thank you, Chairman Skinner and members of the commission. My name is Randy Moline. I'm in agriculture. I also have a domestic well on where I live. When I was growing up, while back, we had a well in our garage. It was a, what was called a surface well.
Yeah.
About three feet around and probably went down about 20 or 25 feet. And that was our water. But it didn't last. And that was probably my first lesson that I learned when water's used, it settles. And the lesson continued. We drilled a well, so we had a well thereafter. But for all of our wells that we have, it seems like many times when we have these drought periods, we need to lower the bowl. So that was a constant reminder that using water and drought conditions are very impacting for growers and everyone else. Through the years, we continue to become more efficient and monitor our wells, at, just as a lot of other people were doing. That this county has had a monitoring progress where it's been modeling and testing wells for quite some time, a couple of decades that I know of at least. The conclusion basically is that we need more water. We use it and we need more water. We use conservation and we use efficiency whenever possible, but we're coming up short. And drought years are painful reminders as we visually go over and look at Lake Oroville, a great reservoir, and we hear about our aquifer with people's wells coming up dry. The proposed Tuscan Water District is of no rush to judgment and has been worked on actively for 5 years. Recharge has been discussed for many years as well. We have many water districts within Butte County, and they were formed in our county when needed, largely by farmers. Our county has greatly grown in population and agriculture. We are all stakeholders in the need of water. We have an overdraft problem that needs to be fixed. It's been legislated. It's in the public process. We have a proposal I believe is a viable and a good one. To wait would only add more risk to our aquifers and wells. I'm in support of the Tuscan Water District proposal and thank those who worked so hard to bring it to this point. And I thank the Water Commission commissioners for hearing me. Thank you.
Priscilla Hanford.
Hello, commissioners. Lance, Matt, I was on the commission for several years with your father. And this is...
Priscilla, bring that mic closer to your mouth. There you go.
My regulatory experience has been mostly with the Regional Water Quality Control Board of the Central Valley. So I'm quite familiar with other single-purpose, multi-powered water agencies. And I just want to say one quick thing. A landowner voter district is not a democratic method, but it needs to be balanced against the economies of efficiency and effectiveness. And so there needs to be, I want everyone to be aware that the water district, I've done a lot of research on special districts, and it is a single purpose district, but enumerated within that single purpose are things that have to be attended to. I'd like to say at this point that I have been an advocate of a greater level of groundwater management. And I do very much want to express appreciation for the SGMA process. It has been incredible and I've been following it. And I'd like to say that item 2 on the recommendations as proposed to us in this draft response, I do believe in option A with those 2 conditions. I feel very concerned about the possible export. I also was among the authors of Chapter 33. We worked very hard for this groundbreaking groundwater ordinance. I feel very strongly about transfers and exports. So if those can be better addressed and the representation, there is a little escape clause that says it may be brought further to have a voter, a representative vote instead of a weighted vote at a future date. I'm not in favor, governmental organization-wise, with the concept of a landowner voter district, but I appreciate the efficiency aspects of having such a body participate in the groundwater management. So care, caution, and spend more time reflecting. This is an extremely powerful entity that you'd create where SGMA is already in such a good process for taking care of our groundwater. I also have several acres in Paradise, even though I'm in Chico now.
Well, thank you, Priscilla. I appreciate you zeroing in on this document and helping us navigate it.
Guillermo Mash with Imagining Community here in our KZFR downtown Chico studios, welcoming you to our one-hour synopsis of yesterday's Butte County Water Commission meeting, where the Tuscan Water District was approved as a recommendation with conditions to the Butte County Board of Supervisors. We opened our show with three public comments selected from the 58 presented during the meeting in person and via Zoom. 44 were in favor and 13 were opposed and one was neutral. We chose one opponent, Jim McCabe, whose comments were revisited several times by the commissioners as they deliberated, proponent Randy Moline, and proponent with conditions Priscilla Hanford. All three of these speakers did a fine job capturing the essence of the public discourse without histrionics. We have chosen the synopsis and excerpts with the utmost care to share proponent and opponent views and opinions with a good deal of the airtime dedicated to enlightening our listeners on the advisory role of the Butte County Water Commission, the entirety of both the A versus B proposal recommendations, and the entirety of the presentation by the Tuscan Water District. I believe we struck a good balance with 1 hour to detail a 4.5 hour discussion. Our show archive will have the entire audio broken out in segments for folks who would like to hear more of what was presented during the meeting. Here's an excerpt of the opening remarks by Chairperson Skinner, followed by Dr. Christina Buck with a breakdown on the questions posed to the Butte County Water Commission by LAFCO and the proposed responses in an A approved and B disapproved context. Pay close attention to all of the A responses, as every one of them was voted in favor of without modification.
I think it's important to understand the workings of the Butte County Water Commission. There are 9 members here, and we're all volunteers. And this past Thursday, August 26th, at 11:19, the packet went out to each of us, the agenda packet. And this consisted of 290 pages, a lot of which were maps, and all but 2 of these pages were directly associated with the proposed formation of the Tuscan Water District. And as Christina had mentioned, as she went through the protocol, any emails or correspondence after this 12:19 p.m. cutoff would be classified as supplemental materials. Staff will officially record these post-deadline items in the commission's October 6th commission docket, but not to worry. Staff has tried their best to electronically forward on these documents to the individual commission members in a timely manner. So with regard to agenda item 4 this past week, I've been receiving, at least in the afternoon hours, probably one email every 30 seconds. last meeting, via Zoom, I announced the resignation of Paul Goslin, Butte County Department of Water Resources Conservation Director, and he assumed a position with the DWR as a assistant
deputy director, yeah, of the
compliance director
groundwater management program.
Yep. All right. So our staff here in Butte County consists of 3 individuals: Dr. Christine Buck, Kelly Peterson, and Administrative Assistant Autumn Thomas. And finally, in just a little over 4.5 months from now, on January 31st, 2022, Butte County needs to have all of its SGMA documents submitted to the Department of Water Resources. So needless to say, staff is very, very busy, and I want to commend the staff. I want to commend Christina for all the work she's had to do, and we work well together. It's good, and thank you for your efforts.
Sure. I will kick us off and frame this agenda item up a little bit. As you know, it's a continuation from last time. So our charge here is consideration of comments to LAFCO, ultimately from the Board of Supervisors, but with your recommendations. So just a little background. Again, in April of 2021, LAFCO issued a certificate of completion. Got to close this up. That they had received acceptable landowner petitions by landowners of a majority of a proposed district area. And then the proponent submitted an application, the Tuscan Water District application, for district formation to LAFCO in June. And subsequently, LAFCO issued a notice to local agencies, including Butte County, and requested comments of the Board of Supervisors through Butte County Water Commission, other Butte County water departments, as well as the Vina Groundwater Sustainability Agency and other local agencies. So a number of local agencies throughout Butte County are going through this process of evaluating the Tuscan Water District application and considering comments to LAFCO. So today, the Water Commission discussed the topic and heard public comment last month, as you know, on August 4th, and decided to continue the topic to today. Okay, so again, this was included, the comment form that we received from LAFCO is included in the packet, and it has four questions that are posed. One, what effect, if any, will this proposal have on the operations and functions of your agency? Two, does your agency believe the formation of the proposed Tuscan Water District will help or hinder the overall management of surface irrigation water and groundwater resources within Butte County and the region? Three, should the Tuscan Water District be approved and formed, would your agency be willing to enter into cooperative agreements or studies with the Tuscan Water District to examine methods of maintaining or enhancing local water supplies? Number four, would you agree or disagree that the proposed formation of the Tuscan Water District would be a threat to the overall agricultural water supply in Butte County, or otherwise compromise the ability of existing local water agencies to protect the current water supply available to the residents and irrigation water users in Butte County? And five, do you have other comments? So we've received lots of public comment. Also, there was submitted from Commissioner Harriman and Commissioner Raymond materials that were included in the packet, as well as Commissioner Washington. And so out of those materials and just the public conversation that's been happening, I've summarized kind of some primary issues of concern. This is not an exhaustive list, but I think it's got kind of the major categories. It can be added to if needed. But the first is representation within the district, right? Big concern over the 1 acre, one vote, rather than a one person, one vote. There's been expressed that the single domestic representative that's proposed to be on the board is not a satisfying solution for this. Number two, there's been this question raised, is there a need for a new district? Local agencies exist that could provide these services. What's the role of the county? Should the county continue in kind of our historical role as a water department that has conducted studies and cooperatively worked with other water agencies and supported them in implementing things, or should something different? That's really, as you know, a policy decision ultimately from the board, but you could discuss it as well. Third, concerns that the Tuscan Water District would conduct out of basin water transfers and that would have impacts and harm to groundwater users or the environment. Four, potential privatization of the aquifer. And this comes from recognizing that the legal right to surface water that is imported and recharged into an aquifer, that legal right remains with the project proponent, with the importer. It doesn't just become groundwater and then treated as groundwater if it's recharged. Number five, harm and concerns about harm and cost burden to small landowners within the proposed district, primarily because of that representation issue. Number six, concerns about the future cost burden. Projects pursued by the district could have financial and environmental impacts on landowners, on the county as a whole, or other entities within the county. There's been concerns expressed with the proposed district boundary. This is something that LAFCO has authority to adjust, accept, or adjust. And so comments from Public Works include things related to this. There were some comments related to the cutouts and notches. And I, when I read it, looking at just consistency, you know, sometimes it described the western boundary being the Sac River. Sometimes it described it as being the county line. That's something we tackled when the Vina subbasin was being, basin boundaries were being adjusted. So we want to probably tighten that up and have it, I would suggest, align with the county boundary. Number eight, concerns about disclosure of formation costs by petitioners proposed to be reimbursed by the initial fee assessment. And then number nine, capability of petitioners. And there were details related to inconsistencies or incompleteness of the application. And then there are others, but those are kind of the main, kind of the big ticket items that I identified. So those are issues of concern. So what I've done is taken those four LAFCO questions and essentially drafted up kind of the nuts and bolts of two different potential responses. So an option A, which is generally all the option A's are generally supportive, but acknowledging that there are concerns and conditions could address those concerns. Or option B, the county questions and has concerns and is not supportive and generally opposes the Tuscan Water District formation. So these again are meant to be starting places for your direction to provide policy direction to staff so that staff can write responses to these questions and also draft a comment letter. So option A in this case, the question is, what effect, if any, will this proposal have on the operations and functions of your agency? So option A in this case, you know, just states that Butte County Water Department has historically conducted monitoring studies and worked cooperatively with other local agencies to manage and preserve the water resources within the county, and that Butte County intends to continue in this role consistent with Resolution 17-170 to work constructively, cooperatively, and collaboratively with the Tuscan Water District should they be formed. Alternatively, the response could be something like, the county questions the need for the Tuscan Water District. The county intends to take a more active role to implement projects to manage and preserve water resources within the county. The county taking on this role removes the need for the formation of a new water district. Okay, number two, this is the help or hinder question. I won't read the whole question again, it's there. And so option A, again, falls under the category of the county believes the formation would help the overall management of water resources. Blah, blah, blah. But Butte County supports the following conditions placed on the formation of the Tuscan Water District. One, any water imported into the district will remain in the district. Such a condition developed by LAFCO should address concerns related to water transfers. And two, a second condition would be projects and programs conducted by the district must be consistent with projects and management actions or implementation activities as described in the relevant groundwater sustainability plan in the Vina or Butte subbasin. Such a condition should help address concerns regarding representation and harm to small landowners due to large landowners dominating the decisions and actions of the district. And that's because the Vina GSA, along with the Rock Creek Reclamation District GSA, are the GSAs that adopt the groundwater sustainability plans and decide what projects and management actions are in the groundwater sustainability plan. So ultimately, the decision-making is held by those boards. Option B would be Butte County believes the formation of the Tuscan Water District is unnecessary and will hinder the overall management of water resources due to the concerns of the issues of concern communicated to LAFCO, and Butte County believes conditions placed on the new district by LAFCO would not adequately address these concerns. Okay, number three is related to that. Would we enter agreements with Tuscan Water District if they were formed? Option A would just re-emphasize that the county would work constructively, cooperatively, and would be willing to enter agreements. Option B would just restate that county has serious concerns about the proposed district and strongly opposes its formation. And then finally, number four is the question about whether you agree or disagree that it would be a threat to water supply. And so this is where we could list concerns. So Butte County has the following concerns. One, that it would participate in out-of-basin water transfers. Two, the concern about privatization of the aquifer. 3, representation of the district and voting structure that allows power of decision making to reside with large landowners, and the concern regarding harm and cost burden to small landowners within the district. So you can see I've pulled in some of those concerns that I identified earlier. 4, projects pursued by the district could have huge financial and environmental impacts on landowners and the county as a whole. And so option A says, we have these concerns, but Butte County encourages LAFCO to place conditions on the Tuscan Water District to address these concerns, and believes that such conditions could or would adequately address these concerns, therefore it would not be a threat. Or B, Butte County has these serious concerns about the formation of the Tuscan Water District and believes its formation would be a threat, and again states that it strongly opposes the formation. Okay, and then finally, looking for your direction, if overall the commission recommends that the board support the formation or oppose the formation.
Guillermo Mash with Imagining Community with a presentation prepared by the Tuscan Water District next in the queue. Before we air that, here is a reading of the first paragraph from the Statement of Purpose section of the TWD proposal submitted to LAFCO on June 9th, 2021, as archived on the TWD homepage at Tuscan, T-U-S-C-A-N, waterdistrict.com. There is currently no locally controlled sub-basin-wide special district in the Vienna and Butte sub-basins that can evaluate, determine, fund, implement, and oversee various programs to implement the groundwater sustainability plans, GSPs, and achieve groundwater sustainability. The primary purpose of the Tuscan Water District, TWD, is to create a local special district to fill this gap. After the Vienna Groundwater Sustainability Agency, Vienna GSA, adopts the GSP, Vienna GSA will have new powers under the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, SGMA, commonly referred to as SGMA, to implement the GSP. However, the role of the Vienna GSA will be to manage and oversee the GSP, and therefore it is not necessarily the appropriate agency for GSP implementation, because it is not locally elected or controlled, and because the County of Butte, which is a major party to the GSA, has indicated it does not have the time, resources, staffing, or priority to implement the GSP. Guillermo Mash here to say there was a lively discussion around the veracity of this statement as it relates to the scope of work of the Vienna GSA. Here is just one of several dissenting comments, this one by Commissioner Raymond in her closing comments before the motion to recommend approval of the Tuscan Water District to the Butte County Board of Supervisors.
I still come back to the same issue with that we already have two functioning GSAs that have been constituted, organized, have websites, have MOUs, have agreements with each other, and have all of the powers that this district is asking for. There's no need for a, you know, third person in the party going forward. If anything, adding a third player into this delays. They have to constitute themselves up. They have to form. They have to get organizations, and it just adds another layer of management. I would like to say in the Vienna GSA's JPA, it says in assignment, says the rights and duties of the members may not be assigned to or be delegated without the written consent of all members. I've not seen anywhere where this group has gone to the Vienna GSA, County of Butte, City of Chico, Durham Irrigation System, who are the members of the Vienna GSA, where they are asking to be able to delegate their responsibility to implement the GSP to another party. I have not seen any evidence where they've claimed, help, I can't do this work. State of California has made it abundantly clear that if you're a GSA, you're going to do the work, and I got a big stick to whack you if you don't. I'm going to come in and do it, and I'll give you the bill. So they don't care. So why does another organization have to form? We have a group who's already got all the powers to do it. You guys have already listed the projects to be done. You can do the projects. I have no problem with Tuscan Water, if it was Tuscan Water Enterprises and you were some general contractor coming in, you could be a Bechtel. You want to do projects, you want to get funding, fine. The GSA can go to you and you can put in your proposal and bid it out with them. You know, you have no track record. Why would somebody want to bid with you to even, you know, to do a water purveyance project or something like that? That's what you're asking for. So if you want to do these projects, then create a special interest group, create a special, you know, and make your project, you know, happen. You don't need a water district to make it happen. We have two perfectly good functional GSAs who are tasked to do that, and they have not cried uncle. So until you provide a resolution from those two organizations to say, nope, I want to delegate this responsibility to this unnamed, unformed organization. Okay.
Can I ask a question of clarification? You say that the GSAs are able to go out and procure water to boost our water portfolio in Butte County? Are you saying that?
Yeah.
Is this correct? Can a GSA go out on the market and buy water?
They have more superpowers.
So this is the process for the VINA GSA to respond to this application. And it is time. I mean, the VINA GSA is finding its legs, right, as it develops its GSP. And so it's a critical conversation that will happen at the VINA GSA board next week on September 8th for them to decide what role they plan on having in the future and therefore what comments they want to provide to LAFCO about what they will or will not do in implementing the GSP. So, I do believe they have authority. I don't know.
They have to implement the GSP. Whether they go get Bechtel to go implement their GSP, they can go do that. If they want to create a group to do that.
What's unclear to me is if they could own, like if we need a canal to move water, if that's what they wanted to do, could they own and operate and maintain infrastructure like
that? Why not?
I think they probably could. I don't know. Bruce, could you weigh in on that?
Sure, they can. That's
the only thing I would add is, they could certainly contract for it if they didn't do it themselves.
The question posed to Commissioner Raymond was from Commissioner Tennis, with additional comments by Dr. Christina Buck, Acting Director for Butte County Water and Resources Board. A few comments before we air the TWD presentation. This is just a snippet of discourse on the very first paragraph within the TWD proposal's Summary of Purpose section. In addition to the very best of my detailed meeting notes, a representative from VINA GSA did not speak publicly in support or opposition to the TWD, nor, as Commissioner Raymond states with no rebuttal, has anything been submitted on behalf of VINA GSA in regards to their position and possible working arrangement with the proposed TWD. Priscilla Hanford, who stated being a past commissioner and water policy wonk, ended her previously aired public comments thusly: care, caution, and spend more time reflecting. This is an extremely powerful entity, TWD, that you create, where SGMA, Sigma, is already in such a good process for taking care of our groundwater. I, Guillermo Mesh, hold faith in the process that LAFCO, the approval agency, will take the appropriate care, caution, and reflection and not rush to approve the TWD without understanding the final plans of the GSAs to manage the groundwater. I'm of the opinion that the appearance of a need to rush and approve the TWD isn't just a cart before the horse. It's an intention to cripple the horse before it begins to move forward with projects and management actions, PMAs. It would seem that the proponents would rebuff this hypothetical with, certainly not. We will be another horse to bear the load. To this, I respond, great. Wait until that horse has a bit in its mouth and nods approval for needing assistance.
Members of the commission, thank you. Again, appreciate the opportunity to be here today. While we pull up the additional slides, as Christina mentioned, I won't go back through everything. I do think that there's been some I don't want to load the language, but I think there's been some confusion in terms of some of the numbers, and I want to make sure that we're all on the same page in terms of numbers. Before I start that, though, I just want to say on this, the staff framework, I think we're going to find a way to get where we need to go today. The thing I'm nervous about is I think there's more common ground than not common ground here, even though it doesn't appear that way. And the framework is set up as an either or. So I just want to make that point. I think there's actually a lot of common ground in terms of intent, what we're intending and what the other side, if you will, intends for the water, for control issues and the rest of it. So I just wanted to point out that I don't want that to get lost as we use a framework that is either or. I felt that was important to get off my chest. Thank you. Okay, so let's go through the numbers because I think this is really important. I think is the subject of a lot of confusion. And I'll say this is my fault for not doing a better job of being very clear in terms of the numbers. And I think that's led to confusion. The proposed Tuscan Water District will be 102,000 acres, roughly. Applicants for the Tuscan Water District represent 58% of the 102,000 acre district. All right. So in order to even move forward, we have to provide petitions for 50% plus one of the landowner base within the district in order to even move forward as a landowner voter district. All right. So that's the base, right? What does that mean in terms of who our farmers are? Well, here it is. Again, the applicants represent 58%. We have a couple farms that own about 21,000 acres that represents about 21%. We have another 13,000 acres owned by the next eight farms, which is another 13%. And another 17,500 acres that's owned by 27 farms, which is another 17%. So if you take those first three bullets there, about half of the district is owned by about 37 farms, right? Then we have another 34 farms that are smaller that account for the other 6-7%. All right, so let's go to the next slide. And my slide the last time didn't do a good enough job of kind of illustrating this, but here it is. We've got, that first slide just talked about the applicant acreage. This second slide says, okay, well, you've got a pie. And it's 102,000 acres. What makes up that pie? And again, it's 21% are the corporate farms, and we've got two of those. The next 13% are large farms. Those are 2,000 to 3,000 acre farms. And for those of you that haven't seen this slide before, I'm happy to get you the slide. I see people writing comments furiously. I'm happy to provide this information. 17,434 acres is 27 farms, and those are farms that are roughly 380 to about 1,000 acres, right? Then we got, like we just talked about, we've got farms that are 40 acre plus, from 28 acres to 374 acres, and that's about another 34 farms. So that makes up the 58%. And then in terms of the total district, there's also another 36,484 acres of non-applicant farms, and those are 40 plus acre parcels. There's another 5%, which we've talked about in the past, non-applicant domestic well user acres. That's about 5%. And then we've got some road streams and other non-parcels, which accounts for about 2,300 acres, which is about 2%. So what I wanted to do there is lay out the facts in terms of the acreage and what makes up the district, because I think this will play into who controls the district, how that will work over time. And again, I'll take the blame for not being more clear about this, which led to, I think, a whole bunch of communication out there saying like three or four farms are going to own 54% of the district. Well, that's not true. And you can see it illustrated here. So I wanted to make that point as a starting point. So let's move to the next slide, please. This is a slide you've seen before. The only thing I want to point out is the 58,000 acres are the green in that area. That's the applicant acreage. All right. So other people will talk to who the farms are. I mean, I laid out generic numbers in terms of how many farms. Other people will talk to who those farms are. These are local businesses. Anyway, so we'll get into more detail, but I wanted to show visually the applicant acreage, and that's in the green area. Let's go to the next slide. And again, the underlying districts, so you have this district, you have a proposed water district that sits over a number of underlying districts, and it's a neighbor to other districts. And all the districts that we overlay support through letters of support, and our neighbor support. So I just want to, again, point that out. This isn't, that's an important piece. These are folks that have thought about their special districts. They've thought about this issue. They've thought about the relationship issue between overlap and spheres of influence, and they've decided to support the formation of this district. So I think that's really important for folks to hear as well. Okay, next slide. Okay, so we've talked a little bit about the Tuscan Water District, the aggregate numbers, who that is, and who supports. Now let's talk about how we get formed. And I think this is important too. There are a bunch of, this is a LAFCO process. So we're going through a process that will culminate in a decision at LAFCO as to whether or not to form the district or not. One of the questions that they have actually very little discretion on is the question of how the voting occurs to form the district, right? They have lots of discretion. They can add conditions of approval in a whole bunch of different ways. But in terms of how the district is formed from a voting perspective, they have very little discretion, right? State law recognizes and approves two different kind of buckets, if you will, of voting systems. One's a resident and one's landowner voter. Resident is familiar to folks because it's how you elect your city council members, state legislators, federal ballot measures, et cetera. Those are broad purpose, broad power type decisions. For narrow purpose and narrow type of entities, state law recognizes another way to form a district, another way to vote for that, and that's based on acreage. In our case, we're a landowner voter district because our function is narrow. We're just formed to pursue and implement projects to essentially solve the overdraft issue. So it's projects to bring water into the district, right? Therefore, because it's narrow, the number of votes allocated to the landowners is proportional to the acreage of their land and therefore relative to the landowner benefit and burden. It's just a different way to form a governmental entity. Right, there's two different ways to do it, and this is the landowner voter way. All right, let's go to the next slide. So this just summarizes what I was just saying. Tuscan is a landowner voter district. The 1 acre, one vote system is required by state law. Right, it can't be a one person, one vote. That's not the type of, it's not in that bucket. It's in a narrow purpose bucket, landowner voter bucket. And so that's required by state law. And the reality is there's 300 plus water districts in California that are formed as landowner voter districts. So I just wanted to make that clear as well, because I think that there's some, and again, it's just not, special districts aren't formed all the time. And so I think it's understandable that there's confusion in terms of how that works. But I think it's important, given the amount of public input and focus, to just spend a few minutes on that. Okay, so let's go to the next one. All right, so that first question is, how is it formed? The second question is, and the rest of the slides are more about control. Who controls water in the Vina Subbasin, right? Like who controls? And I think this is a big, important question. And I think that, so I'm going to try to provide some clarity on this from our perspective. There are four regulators in the Vina Subbasin. Those include the Vina Groundwater Sustainability Agency. All right, if we step back, SGMA passed in 2014, created a new framework for how we're going to manage groundwater. And the first piece of that is you have to form a GSA. You have to form a Groundwater Sustainability Agency. And the first function of that Groundwater Sustainability Agency is to form a groundwater sustainability plan, right? And then over the next 20 years, that plan is implemented. But the first thing is to form a GSA in every sub-basin, in most of the sub-basins throughout California. So in this sub-basin, we have two GSAs, the Vina GSA and the Rock Creek Groundwater GSA. We also have Butte County is a regulator that can adopt policies and ordinances to control water in its county, in its jurisdiction. And ultimately, if the GSA or Butte County doesn't do its job, of course it will, but if it weren't going to do its job, the Department of Water Resources could step in and force action. So that's your list of regulators. That's who controls what's happening in this sub-basin. Okay, next slide, please. So the regulator toolkit, what does it include? It includes ordinances already adopted. So in Butte County is, not every county in California has a groundwater ordinance that requires that before any certain type of groundwater substitution transfer occurs, you got to get a permit from the county. So it's actually a leader in groundwater management because of Chapter 33, which is passed in 92. And I'll say that one of the authors of that in 1992 is one of the chief proponents for the water district, Ed McLaughlin, right? So the first toolkit piece, if you will, is the county and the Vina GSA can adopt ordinances. Ones that they've already done, and as Vina GSA moves on, they can adopt ordinances. The second piece of this is the groundwater sustainability plan. And without going into crazy detail on that, it's a plan that puts the basin on the path to achieve sustainability over a period of time. And to do that, there are projects and management actions that are identified in that plan. And that's another way. We have to have a plan. It has to be approved by DWR. It's part of the regulatory framework to help us achieve sustainability. And so those are pieces to the regulator toolkit. All right, let's go on to the next one. The punchline here is the water district is an implementer. It's not a regulator. It's an implementer. We're being formed to pursue GSA-approved projects and activities to solve the overdraft problem in the sub-basin. So I feel like that's like people think that somehow the district can control the water, can control the projects, can control everything. And the reality is we don't. We're not the regulator. We can pursue projects, but they have to be consistent with the GSA plan. All right, so let's go a little bit more into that. Here's the question. Okay, all right, we hear you. You're still going to try to privatize the aquifer. And I say to you, if you go to our application, we're very clear. Any project, program, or activity conducted by the district must be consistent with the goals and activities described in the relevant sustainability plan in which the project, program, or activity is implemented. We can't do anything, and we are self... Let me put it this way. We could, but we have offered up to LAFCO, the decision maker on this, the willingness to self-limit what we pursue as a district to GSP-approved projects and management actions. So that's a huge limit right there. Okay, let's go to the next slide, because this is the other piece of that question. Like somehow we could steal the water, or where's imported water going to go? There's two pieces to this. And I start with Paul Goslin in a quote that he made in a letter to us in 2019. But I won't go that. Let's just talk about the application. We say in the application, any water imported into the Tuscan Water District by the Tuscan Water District will remain in the district. Now, we also have other language in the application. What we're expecting is that LAFCO will place a condition on the formation document to make that a reality, to lock down the water. So you lock down the water, and then you lock down what we can pursue in terms of projects that are only consistent with the GSP, and you've protected the water, and you've locked down our ability to pursue like the kitchen sink idea that is going to threaten everything. We can't do that because that would never be a project that would be approved by the GSP or included in the GSP. So we think with those two pieces, the regulators control water in the district, and what we're going to pursue. All right. That's the 30,000 foot on that. Let's go to the next page. Okay. So then the final slide I'll make is, or points that I'll make is, like, why haven't I heard about this until now? And I just wanted to kind of quickly go back through this. 2014, Sigma passes. 2015, Butte County begins the collaborative process with the local agencies in the region. And really at the time, it was like to develop consensus. How many sub-basins are we going to have? Who are the GSAs going to be? I mean, it was all those initial questions. Part of that was we do have 100,000 acres that are groundwater dependent that currently don't have representation in that Sigma process. And so that was a big question at the time too. Like, what are we going to do about that? And by 2017, Butte County had unanimously, there's months of discussion, and then the Butte County unanimously adopted a resolution urging landowners to form an entity to implement the GSA-approved projects. In 2019, okay, so 2018 happens, Camp Fire. 2019 happens, and things had kind of stalled a little bit, but by 2019, Paul Gosselin was like, look, you guys, get active, do something. So he sent us a letter and said, get involved. You guys got to take this next step. And that water district can be an important next, not only to provide input into the Sigma process to get to the GSP, but also to implement projects moving forward. So that was an important letter that then encouraged the landowners to even move forward at that point. And then in 2021, we submitted petitions and got those certified. And then in June, we submitted the application, which kicks off the LAFCO process. That's actually the public process. So, and this, what we're doing today is informing that LAFCO process. So I've talked, so I will stop. And I appreciate your indulgence, but I did think that it was important to talk through some of those issues and then talk through the history. Okay, next slide. I think that's it. Oh, no, I guess I do have a closing slide, which I'll leave up there. It's true. Water's the lifeblood. We've got a problem. We got to fix the problem. We think it's the best way to quickly and efficiently get to a solution for that overdraft issue. And you'll hear more from the farms and businesses in the district who care about this, who aren't interested in losing the water, and who aren't interested in doing all these other crazy ideas about what we could do. It's GSA approved projects and keep the water here. So anyway, hopefully that helps.
Who's next?
The next person is Jim Brobeck.
Jim, a familiar name.
Thank you, Commissioner Skinner. I was appointed to the Butte County Water Advisory Committee by Supervisor Yamaguchi many years ago, and I'm currently a member of the Vina Shack, the Stakeholder Advisory Committee. In other words, I'm not an uninformed social media water policy novice. The purpose of the Shack is to provide input and recommendation to the Vina Board of Directors.
And speak up, please. You're a little bit. Go ahead, Jim.
While I'm not speaking on behalf of the Shack, I would like to report on a recent meeting. During the August 17 Shack meeting, we were presented with Mr. Giesentiner's pro-TWD PowerPoint. The 10-member Shack engaged in a detailed discussion of the application. Three members of the Shack, including one member of the agriculture groundwater users, expressed concern about the intentions of the TWD. This ag groundwater user was especially alarmed at the TWD intention to raise money by way of escalating per acre tax-like assessments. All three of us expressed a special concern focused on the TWD voting block being dominated by land investors located elsewhere, such as Salt Lake City and San Francisco. The single Shack member who supported the application requested that the Shack forward a neutral position to the Vina GSA board. The other members were either silent or absent from the meeting, and the meeting facilitator refrained from taking a vote on whether to support or oppose or to remain neutral. On page 48 of this TWD application, it explains, quote, the concept of who owns the aquifer is being addressed by an ad hoc task force of the Vina GSA. Once it has completed its task, it will report findings and recommendations to the Vina GSA for consideration, unquote. While the ad hoc task force was abandoned by Director Gosselin over a year ago, The Vina legal counsel prepared
an analysis. You're running short on time, Jim, but go ahead.
The consequences of district managed recharge and found these risks to be complex and significant. The TWD intention to import, transfer, and recharge water mentioned numerous times in the application can result in the integration of the Tuscan aquifer system into the state water supply through conjunctive use, threatening local control. Robust interbasin coordination and numerous water conservation projects we have proposed are fully capable of meeting the goal of the Vina GSA to balance the aquifer system without imposing a new tax collecting district whose sole purpose, beside raising money, is to engage in legally fraught groundwater banking projects. So I encourage you to reject this controversial application.
For the sake of time and efficiency and just safety of maintaining the integrity of the proposal that's before us today, I think that we should, or I would like to offer a motion basically that would take all of the option A's in the staff document that was put before us. I'm happy to read them verbatim and consolidate them into one single motion that I would ask that we move to approve. My intention in doing this is candidly to give a full-throated endorsement of Tuscan Water District, because I am very concerned about SGMA and the impact that it might have on our local economy, the agricultural economy. And I think this is just a very concise, well-worded mechanism for moving forward with a robust recommendation to the Board of Supervisors that we support the Tuscan Water District. So I would move all the option A's listed in the draft responses to LAFCO questions with options for the commission's consideration.
So are we clear on the motion that all option A's under 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 be approved? Am I correct?
Yes, sir. And I'm happy to read those.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved and second. I'd like to bring this matter to a vote. Commissioner Grover, how do you vote? In favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Favor.
In favor. Commissioner Harriman?
Nay.
Okay. Commissioner Montgomery?
Aye.
Commissioner Raymond?
No.
Commissioner Rothler?
Aye.
Commissioner Stennett?
Aye.
Commissioner Tennis?
Aye.
Commissioner Washington?
Nay.
And I vote in favor. Motion carries.
All right, Gimel Mash, you know, I got a lot of stuff in there in that 1 hour, and I was blessed with an extra 2 minutes. So it's an hour and 2 minute show. So I can add a little context that it was Commissioner Tennis of the Butte County Water Commission who proposed the motion that passed 6-3 in favor of recommending the TWD to the Butte County Board of Supervisors. And that was Jim Brobeck, water policy analyst for Aqua Alliance, and just a revered person who's been studying water for years. He was the one that was the final public comment, the Zoom final public comment. A couple of points, though, I want to make. One is from the California Legislative Analyst Office, LAO, and they have an excellent research document titled Water Special Districts. They look at governance and public participation from Chapter 107. But I think this is where the TWD is trying to position themselves as being narrow, in that, as defined in 107, this report defines water special districts as those districts which perform at least one of these three specific duties: water delivery, waste disposal, sanitation, and flood control and water conservation. I believe TWD is trying to say, you know, we're limited because we're just going to be looking at water delivery. But take a look at that report. It'll be in the archive for this show. There was also a lot of really good information about Butte County Resource Conservation District and their ability to do precisely what TWD is positioning themselves to do. And it's a long-standing organization. Every single county has a resource conservation district, and I really like that idea. And you can find out more about the Butte County Resource Conservation District at bcrcd.org. Also, finally, you know, I really, really would like people to go on out to vinagsa.org and look for the groundwater sustainability plans and review the projects proposed by the GSA that will be finalized and submitted to the state in January 2022, 3 short months from now. I mean, I just listened to this. I can't give you the whole tone of this meeting, but there was just this whole rush. You got to do it now, you know, governance this, governance that. But the meeting was stunningly light on exactly, even not even exactly, remotely what Tuscan and Water District was going to do. There was a lot of mom and pop kind of like, I've loved water districts my whole life. We need a water district here. And to say this, you know, with some heart on this, I'm a change agent from HP. I was trained, and change is difficult. And I think a lot of people in that room didn't really wrap their arms around the fact that SGMA is the first time the state of California is regulated, has looked at groundwater as something they're going to regulate. And it's a new regulatory body and a body that actually can go out and implement GSPs, plans to make sure we have enough groundwater. And I think there's a blind spot. I think people are just continuing to look at how we used to do it. And you know what? If we look at how we used to do it and how we're doing it, oh my God, how well has that worked out? Let's wait for SGMA. It's only 3 more months. Thanks for everyone for listening to the show and being a supporter of Peep Out Radio.